laid on your heart. Glad to have you back with us.
Well, it is good to be here tonight. We were talking about this. It was about a year ago that we were here as a family, end of January, and it's amazing how fast time goes. It really was almost a year ago, and I was standing there talking to Carlos in the lobby, and I told him, I'm not going to say anything to you until I can remember your name, because we had a couple really good conversations. I appreciated the fellowship with him and a number of you. But after a whole year of traveling and being in about 40 other churches since we were here last, you remember faces and stories, but I'm starting to have trouble with names. And I used to say, well, why can't they just work on that? Well, there's a lot of details that go in and out in the last year. And I don't have your prayer card on my fridge, so I don't get to look at your face and remember your name. So while we're here, we look forward just to reconnect a little bit. And appreciate your pastor and the relationship there, and so much for the support. I have been involved in our own church's missions program since I was a little boy, and have always enjoyed that. But it's been a definite learning experience for us as a family to transition to the missionary role. And one of the areas we're looking to grow in this next year is just how to effectively and thoroughly, as best we can, communicate with folks, and be able to just continue to develop that communication that way. But we praise the Lord for what He's done. Last year we were here, we had started in that fall, and I think in January we were around 25 to 30% of our support. We are now officially at 77%, with 4% more starting this month, and then several other churches that we haven't heard about. So we are currently making plans, if the support continues to come in, to leave the country this fall. I'm working on getting ordained there at our home church. We'll do that this summer. The Lord's already connected us. We were able to purchase a vehicle over in Cameroon, and it's currently being used by a coworker who needed a vehicle. He called me up yesterday, and I said, absolutely, I'd rather be being used than sitting there waiting for us. So just a blessing to not be looking for one and not to have to try and figure that when we get there. But the Lord is putting some of those pieces together. So this next year, we will be finishing deputation. And this is kind of an update as well as how to pray for us. We are finishing the work of deputation, which is communicating with churches the need in Cameroon, sharing with them what we are wanting to do, traveling to those meetings, coordinating those meetings. But now we're also working on the beginnings of the paperwork and the process of moving over there and beginning to put some of those pieces together, while at the same time trying to prevent our children from losing two complete years of school. We're trying to keep their school up and trying to keep them. And the Lord has been good. I say that as a prayer request, but at the same time it's a praise, because God really has been faithful in all of those things. I was just sitting there before I got up here thinking about what I was burdened about a year ago when I came here. When we came here, a year ago we were sick. We'd had to cancel multiple meetings because my wife and I both got very sick early in January. And I was afraid we were going to have to cancel this meeting. And I can remember several other key needs that were in our lives as a family and as missionaries early on in deputation. And I'm looking now thinking, look at all that God has done in this last year. From the provision of a better vehicle for the road, to a provision of a different RV, to many other churches and safe meetings. We've passed countless wrecks on the freeway, the majority of them on the other side of the road, not even slowing us down really. We have passed many miles since the last year, and we're just rejoicing in God's faithfulness to both give us strength, give us good meetings, and to really move us closer to the goal of getting to Cameroon. And it's really in keeping with when you set out to do a work for the Lord, it is, Lord, what do you want me to do? Not just set out to be busy doing something and asking God to bless it. It has been very much exciting to see God do what we believe He called us to do, and to really lead us one step at a time. And I would just praise Him specifically for the safety of this last year and the successful meetings we've had. And we're just rejoicing in that. For prayer requests, one thing I would say, we are stepping, besides the deputation and preparing to leave, we're starting to prepare in some other long-term projects, things like I have to take a safety course and an aviation course just to have basic safety down because of some of the ministry we'll be doing. But the big picture, the big project right in front of us right now is my wife and I and the kids are headed down to Chattanooga where we start a 6-week French intensive that starts Friday morning. And it is a 2-semester college course stuffed into 6 weeks. And it is not intended that we get every little bit of it, but it is meant to be a solid introduction to prepare us for the training that we're going to step into in Cameroon. And it's being presented by a ministry there, International Baptist Jewish Mission, IBJM, in Chattanooga. And the gentleman teaching has been a French speaker for 30 years, and he has a native speaker that works with him also. And the Lord, even in that, just as an update, but also a praise and prayer request there, when that idea was presented to us, I asked, well, how do we do that? How is that going to work? And in the process of looking into it and praying about it, when we had peace about it, but we're just asking the Lord to help with the details, I had a pastor call me and asked me if I'd be willing to come to his church for a meeting. He got my name from a church we had just been in, and he pastors 5 minutes down the road from where that school is, and he asked if we could come in January, which is when the school started. So the Lord began to put meetings in our path completely, even outside of our own control. And the Lord doesn't always do that, but it's always exciting when you see God put very clear pieces together. He provided housing for us. A missions house opened up at a church there that normally doesn't have a listed missions house, but they provided a place for us to stay for the next 6 weeks. And then a young lady from our church who is a secondary ed graduate and has an online job agreed to come with us so she could facilitate our kids' school so that my wife and I could be in class during the mornings. And the Lord put those pieces together. And so we have long-term burdens for this next year, but we are rejoicing at what God has already done and trusting that it's going to be one step at a time. And one step at a time of what do you want me to do, Lord? What should we do? And so we're very thankful for that. Thank you for your support, and it really means a lot to me. While we were home this last December, we spent 3 weeks home, and were involved in 2 outreaches at our church, and then got to be involved in some heating and air conditioning projects also, which is what my former trade was. And I was able to help a couple people with their projects and then had to take care of my own. And it is a blessing to be able to, I was just reminded of the blessing it is to be a missionary supported by other people's giving, because I was stepping back into that role, working at it quite intensively for a good bit this December. And if I was doing that at that level, I would not have no way be able to travel and raise support and be able to then leave the country. So it means a lot to me when I look at the balance, and your church has been very faithful in the giving, and I really do appreciate that. This next year, one of our burdens and goals is to work on the communication side of things, because it's one thing to receive a birthday card on your birthday. It's another thing to receive 79 from one church and then wonder, how do I even respond to this? What do I do? So it is sometimes a challenge for us to express thoroughly, in a way that we feel is thorough enough, the time that people take to both give and send correspondence and send cards and those kinds of things. So all that to say, thank you. I know you probably don't read our prayer card and our prayer letters every day, but to have done it at all is a blessing to us. And to be a part of what we're doing and getting to the field is a blessing. So thank you for that. My wife will be, she stayed home. We have some people staying in our house while we're gone. So she needed one more day to get that prepared. And I needed to get down to Chattanooga. So we're taking 2 vehicles, and she'll be coming through tomorrow, staying in the missions apartment with the teacher and our other 2 kids. So it's just half of us tonight. But we're very grateful for that, for the hospitality even there. One other thing to pray about in Cameroon, I would say, is recently I will be joining there, and I'll give a little bit of an overview. How many of you were here, or you would say, I was not here when you came through last January? I know it's a year ago. There's probably some of you that were not here. Is anybody here says, yeah, I was not here? And I know if you're like me, even if you were here, you probably only heard or remembered, 10% of what I said. But Cameroon is in Africa, West Africa, Central Africa, but it is a country that is divided by 2 main colonial languages, English and French. We are looking to go to the English side of the country, the French side of the country. The English side is not open for ministry, but our coworkers that we've been connected with, and even a lot of the national pastors, because of the violence on the English side, a lot of them have had to move over to the French side. So there has been an establishing, a getting settled in the French side. And God has been blessing that, but there have been challenges. One of the prayer requests there is that God would just continue to help both Cameroonian believers as well as the missionaries there to adjust to French culture and learn French while continuing on with their daily life. It's a major task to learn another language as an adult while you're busy. So pray for that process. There are numbers of adults there in ministry and believers that are trying to learn that just to have a relationship both with their neighbors, but also for the missionaries and pastors so they can function in ministry. Pray also for the aviation side there. The aviation is used there to move pastors and evangelists to further positions out to help in evangelism and church planting. And then they're used for supporting those endeavors, but then also really as goodwill towards those in the vicinity of the airplanes in things like medical evangelism and evacuation, where they use the airplanes to get people to hospitals that would not get there, in other words. So pray for that ministry. They just got a third plane brought over that had been built over in the States here and finally got it over there. And the government just shut them down last month. An inspector wanted to see additional paperwork, and Lord willing, it was all there. It'll be in place, but there's just different hiccups along the way like that. So pray for that ministry. It is a very important one as it helps works that are already ongoing but in more remote areas to be supplied and to be continuing on. We call it the time machine ministry because you can ride in an airplane, a little bush plane, for 30 minutes, and it saved the physical fatigue and time of 3.5 days of transportation in some of these places. So it is a definite encouragement and time saver and resource saver when it's used wisely, and the men there are using it wisely. So just pray for encouragement and for freedom in that ministry there. And then just pray for us as we transition into finishing deputation and getting actually over there. So we praise the Lord for what He's done in this last year. I could sit here and just recount the last year, but we are grateful for how fast deputation has gone for us, but at the same time, it's been hard to keep track of it a little bit. It has moved right along. So we are excited and hoping once we get there and the dust settles to actually get a little bit of normality and stability back in the daily life. The one thing that has not changed over the last year, I'll say this and ask you to turn to the book of John chapter 21, is the Lord Jesus Himself. I have been amazed at this last year at how much has changed in our country and in our own lives, and yet how much the Lord has stayed the same and how faithful He has been. And I'm thankful, you know, as we've looked into learning French and dug into Bible translation discussions in the French language, I am thankful that we have the Word of God and that it doesn't change. And I'm thankful to know that I can know what God has said. And, you know, there are many folks in Christianity today and in the world at large that do not operate on in a world that has any kind of absolute truth. Many believers even today are throwing away any kind of conviction on, you know, it's not popular to say anything is true. More and more there are people, for whatever reason, for ease of their current life, they're not willing to say something is true, and I believe this, and willing to lose relationships over it. Not trying to lose relationships, but many people are no longer living under any kind of absolute truth, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world to me. As a mechanic, everything is absolute. There are things either work or they don't. You don't go out and just throw seed into the wind and hope it grows. Every trade in the world, every occupation operates under laws of fact. And that's how things operate. But as believers, we're in a spiritual battle. And it is very easy for us to go through different changes in our life, different trials, different battles, and to lose sight of Jesus Christ and what is true. And the relationships that we face and the needs and the challenges that others face that we're close to can cause us oftentimes to get our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight I just want to take a few minutes and look at John chapter 21. Years ago I can remember a preacher preaching a New Year's service, and his message title was something to the effect of entering 1995 in the arms of Him who's already been there. That's an old phrase. I don't think it's original with him. But the reality is as we look at the new year ahead of us, 2023, the Lord Jesus Christ has already been in every moment of it. He knows without a doubt everything that will happen in this next year. We can read the news, we can look at our health, we can look at our jobs, at our families, and all the changes that are happening that we do not know about yet. And we can think about those things, and we can lay awake at night, and we can do our best to strategize and plan about those things. But you know, the Lord Jesus, when he calls us to a relationship with him, to salvation first, and then to discipleship, to sanctification, to growth, he made the simple statement to those men that he called, and he simply said to them, "Follow me. Follow me." And tonight is in John chapter 21, we have the story of Peter at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry here. Peter, having been through many wonderful years with the Lord Jesus Christ, but also recently here in John chapter 21, some real defeats, some very real unexpected changes where this one that he had followed lost the election or was arrested and crucified, was gone from his life, though. A major change that he was not expecting in Peter's life. And Peter failed in his responsibilities. And in chapter 21, we see in verse number 1, it says this, "And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise he showed himself." Here's the story. "There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea." And here we have the story of Jesus coming to the disciples in their fishing endeavor. And there's much we could say, but the simple reality is that Jesus came to them and he began to interact with those disciples. And skipping down here to verse number 19, we'll read verse 18. Jesus speaking to Peter in that familiar passage there where he simply asked him, Do you love me? Feed my lambs, etc. Verse 18, though, he says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whithersoever thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. If you're reading the Bible through in a year, you probably just read this in Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus approached Simon Peter and his brother Andrew and said, Follow me. And he approached James and John and said, Follow me. And he called them out of their vocation. And the Bible says they forsook all in Matthew 4:19 and followed him. Do you know when Jesus came back to Peter, he had this long discussion with him about, you know, Do you love me? Feed my lambs. But he simply brought Peter back there at verse 19. Look at the last two words of verse number 19. He saith unto Peter, Follow me. I don't know the different needs in your hearts tonight, but if you are like me, you have needs. You have questions, you have responsibilities, you have things that you're burdened about, you have interests. I'm sure most of you here have family relationships or work relationships. We live in a country that's full of happenings and activities, and we're constantly bombarded with details. And we live in a very distracted time where we can be surrounded with positive things, but also negative things, and be surrounded and bombarded with needs or being solicited to pay attention to this or do this or think about this. I would just like to submit to you tonight that one of the lessons we have learned, and this is really something God had been teaching us from the beginning, but all through deputation, it is good to plan and to think ahead and to get on Scripture for the different needs and responsibilities in your life. But ultimately, there needs to be a focus and a resolve in your heart and mind that, you know what, today, yes, I'm going to get up and have my cup of coffee because I'm saved and right with the Lord, but I'm going to follow the Lord today. And I don't know what that exactly means. I don't know how, but I want to follow Him. And I'm going to get in the Word of God, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to try and get something from it, and I'm going to believe it. And then I'm going to ask you, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then I'm going to follow you in that. And I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and I don't know what's going to happen in 6 months or in a year, but today I'm going to follow you. And it doesn't mean that everything has to go well today in order for me to follow you. And it doesn't mean that if a change comes about that I'm going to quit following you. I'm just going to follow you. I think far too often we have lived in a culture that when the bills are paid and health is good, we're going to follow the Lord. But when a different political party is in office and a family member is far from the Lord, or the Lord has taken one that we love, or some other major trial that is very hard and very difficult, we sometimes forget the simple reality of following the Lord. You know, the Christian life is not about just reading your Bible through every year and being in church every time the doors are open. It is a personal relationship about daily following the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get off of that, everything else slowly starts to erode and fall apart. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, if you're not committed to daily following the Lord, why would you gather with a room full of other ornery human beings with needs that you can't meet? Why would you do that to yourself? What's the point of that? That's no fun. But if you're committed to following the Lord Jesus Christ and you see Him meet your needs, it's different to then gather in a room of other needy people and be able to remind one another, Lord Jesus met with me today, and how can I pray for you? Here's how you can pray for me. How can I pray for you? When you're walking with the Lord daily, you can go through difficult things and not have answers. But the reality of Jesus being with you today has stayed the same. And everything can change around you, and yet He doesn't change. And that's why messages and things like keeping sin out of your life is a big deal. The devil will work hard to separate you through sin, through discouragement, through relationships, through busyness, from a simple, faith-filled relationship with Jesus Christ. Simply believing Him, recognizing that He died for you. He died for every sin you've ever committed. He loves you, and He knows how to give you grace for everything He's asked you to do. And even more so, He wants to be with you in that moment so you can actually be a living example that there is a God in heaven that helps people with their daily life. And when we get away from simply clinging to, I got to follow the Lord today. Where is the Lord in this situation? It's not just when I go to church on Sunday or have my devotions in the morning time. It's all day long I got to follow the Lord. And I would say, look at this passage here. And let's just look at a couple examples here. Jesus said, follow me. That means if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, and this is simple, but have you ever followed somebody before? Have you ever, back in the day before GPSs? And I thank the Lord that I grew up before these ruled everybody's life, where people gave you directions and you had to listen. Or even more so when they first came out with MapQuest, and people would print you out a list of turn-by-turn instructions and hand them to you. Or they'd just say, follow me. And there'd be times where, okay, I'll follow you. And I've even had pastors before, even while we're on deputation, the one here earlier in the year, he said, just follow me to my house. And I said, oh, you can just give me the address. He said, no, just follow me. And I was not used to that. I've been using my GPS for a long time, and he said, follow me. So I get in my vehicle, and I had to watch him closely. And it was at night. And my eyes aren't the greatest at night, and I was asking my kids, is that still him? He's getting up there, and someone pulled in between us. Is that still him? And I had to focus on that. Do you know what I was not doing because I was focusing on him? I was not texting and driving. I was not reading my email while driving. When I came to the stoplight, I was not doing anything else. I was looking at him. I was not even overly engaged in conversation with other people in the car. I was not doing anything like that. I was focused on following him. And all those other things still happened, but at that moment, while I was trying to follow him, I was following him, and then everything else came after that. And you cannot focus Jesus Christ while being focused on yourself. If you look at this passage in verse number 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Now, I'm not going to stand here. I've heard different messages. I can't say that in the Greek it's very crystal clear that this was a sin for him to pick up the net and go fishing. I do know Jesus Christ said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And in this passage, Jesus calls him back to a ministry of ministering to people and seemingly away from a vocational ministry. Whether or not he ever fished or that it was wrong for him to fish, I don't think is the main point. The main point is that Peter seemed to be making his focus on what he could do and what he wanted to do. He said, I'm going fishing. And he led the others that way too. You can't follow the Lord Jesus Christ and do things he's not asked you to do at the same time. You can't, really, it doesn't work that way. Maybe you can, but you're constantly playing catch-up, trying to get back up with him when you finally get off of doing what you were supposed to do. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. You're always going to be able to get back to following him, but it's a very, inconsistent and unhealthy way to live, to take your eyes off the Lord constantly, back and forth, back and forth. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You cannot follow the Lord Jesus while being focused on yourself. And look at Peter's line of questioning here. You cannot follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be focused on others. Peter just received a one-on-one personal counseling session with the Lord Jesus Christ. He just finished that in this passage here, those verses. We didn't read all of them. Jesus says to him, follow me. And Peter says in verse number 20, and again, not necessarily saying this is wrong, but just pointing it out, based on what the scripture says here, verse number 20, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? So they're talking about John here. Verse number 21, Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? The point being here, not necessarily that it was wrong for Peter to ask about John, but Jesus said this, you cannot follow me and be looking at others. You can't follow me and turn around and look at what is this other guy going to do. You know, as believers, it is important for us to be absolutely tied to the Lord Jesus Christ and not allow others to pull us off of that relationship with him. I believe very strongly in the ministry of the local church. I believe in planting autonomous, indigenous local churches. I believe really that that is the goal of every church, that they are to be multiplying and reproducing themselves, of every individual, but every church. But you know that you cannot do that by just really studying how to get people to work well together. What's the best way to grow? What's the best way to be relevant in this culture? What's the best way to get our message out there on YouTube and Facebook? You can use those tools, but you do not do those. You don't do those things unless the Lord Jesus himself led you into doing that. You do those things because you follow the Lord Jesus Christ in it, not because you're so driven to do it that you're just looking at everything else. You know that if you focus on others, you'll most likely end up leaving any kind of church. A lot of solid people are out of church these days because they went through some very hard things in human relationships. I've been there. Do you know that my walk with the Lord and my commitment to serving him is not based on other people, though? It is based on the Lord Jesus himself. My commitment to seeing the Lord use me to spread the gospel and to work with others is not based on the qualifications of those people I'm ministering to. It's based on the fact that the Lord Jesus loves me and he loves them. And he's commanded me to be faithful and to lay my life down for them. My faithfulness to my wife and my children is not based on their performance. It's based on the fact that Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. Sometimes we look and say, but what about that? They did this. They did this. They did this. Follow me. is what he said to Peter. But Lord, you don't know how bad I failed, or you don't know my own inability. Follow me. We are called to a salvation relationship with Jesus Christ by faith in what he has done for us. And our sanctification is the same way. Looking to him to do for us what we cannot do. Not looking at a picture of him and then ourselves in the mirror and trying to make ourselves like it. It's by looking unto him that we are changed in his image step by step. I'm looking forward to the day when we no longer have to live by faith and we get to be with the Lord in heaven. I'm looking forward to the day when I'm done with deputation, although I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. I'm looking forward to these times when we get to be in one place in Cameroon for a whole year, or two, or three, or 10, I hope, or 20. I'm looking forward to some of these things. But ultimately, if we're going to get where we're going in the year 2023, it is one day at a time of following the Lord Jesus Christ, of getting up and saying, God, I need you today. Would you minister to me from your word? Would you open up the word of God, letting the Spirit of God open up the word of God and work on you, convincing you of truth and then leading you in that truth throughout that day. And then the next day, getting up and doing it again. And there will be days when all you can do is get through that day. But that's all the Lord asks you to do. And he doesn't ask you to do it without him. There's not one day or one trial that he ever asks you to get through without him. It is one day at a time of following the Lord Jesus Christ. There are big picture plans and burdens that we have in Cameroon. There are long-term burdens that we have for our children. Since they're not in here, I'll use this moment just to introduce them. My oldest is in seventh grade now. It's very different than when he was in fourth grade. And it's caused me to realize, wow, I need to have some things in place and be planning and praying and working with him on a different level. I have one of my kids is in the youth group now in our church. It's different. It's made me want to think ahead. I have the next is 10. He's with me. I don't believe I've ever been with him for an entire hour of his life that he didn't have at least 100 words to say in that 1 hour. Always thinking and saying something and got a plan or idea or question or something he's got to tell me. And as a dad, I'm burdened. What am I going to do for this boy? How do I teach this boy? What is God's will for his life? How do I help him and shepherd him? I've got two little girls. One just turned 9 and the other will be 7 soon. And we have these burdens for our family members. Then we have our neighbors, our churches, our country. We have big picture burdens that are all far bigger than us. But I would say to you that the Lord Jesus Christ, who made all things, didn't ask you to have the answers to every one of those burdens. He asked you to follow him today. And that's what he said to Peter. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at others. Follow me. We have a lot of burdens. We have a lot of needs. We all do. But I'm thankful tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ knows all of them and knows how to care for them. He knows how to not give us what we need, what we're asking for when it's not hit what he wants. He knows how to give us exactly what we need when we didn't even ask for it. He knows how to direct us in ways that will encourage us and strengthen us for the next trial. And wherever you may be, whether you've never read the Bible through in your life, or whether I was with somebody that just said that this year was the 63rd year they've read their Bible through. I was amazed. I am impressed by that. I hope to be that when I in that age. Wherever you are today, whether you're established in your faith, you've been saved a long time, and maybe have to face some heavier trials, or a new believer or a younger believer, God has asked you simply to follow him. Get in the Word of God this year, and one day at a time, believe him, trust him, obey him, and look to him. And it's summed up in that simple phrase, follow me. I love the simplicity of that. I am a Christian. That means I am a follower of Jesus. That's all we are. That's the simplicity of it. And I would just ask you tonight, I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you, letting a missionary come in and speak and update you. I don't know the needs of your individual lives. I don't know the needs of this church, but I do know that the Lord Jesus Christ does. And whatever your perspective was when you came in here, relationship need, physical need, job, I don't know. Maybe just fine. Great day, no worries whatsoever. My question this evening is just, are you committed to getting up one day at a time this year and intentionally following the Lord every day this year, making this year count, whatever the Lord wants to do with it. But this year I'm going to follow Him. I'm not going to be distracted or discouraged. I'm going to follow Him one day at a time. And that's, I think, if the Lord lets us be back here on a furlough ministry, I don't know when we'll get. We're praying about leaving the country in the middle of the year, later on in the fall maybe. If we get back here again, I'm not sure when it will be, either this summer or, Lord willing, you're still here. If He hasn't come back and you're still here and I come back, where will you be in 5 years from now? And if the Lord tarries and if you've followed Him, I think it will be a good thing. I think it will be this is what the Lord has done. This is what the Lord has done, one step at a time. So let's look to the Lord in these days ahead. And for us, in 1 week's time, I will be desperately praying to the Lord to crack open a section of my brain and shove some French into it, because I have no idea how it's going to happen unless He does it. The verse we've claimed for that is Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's what we need the Lord to do in that need of our life. But thank you for the time tonight, and I trust that you'll take this to heart, to the need to be committed to daily following the Lord. Just one.